Welcome to the sermon podcast of South Hills Church in Costa Mesa. My name is Chris Kretzu, and I'm the campus pastor here. Thank you for carving out the time to listen to this today. I hope that you will be encouraged and challenged, and ultimately that you'll have a deeper sense of God's love for you. I'll be back after the message is over, but until then, I hope that you enjoy this episode.
All right. How's everybody doing this morning? Oh, there's more people in the room. Let's try this again. I've seen you guys cheer before. How's everybody doing this morning? All right. Well, it's great to be with you guys today. Thank you so much for being here. A special day going on today. My name is Moses Camacho. For those of you who don't know me, if you're a first time to South Hills, I just want to say thank you for coming today. This is one of our many locations. As the senior pastor of South Hills, I get to be at all of our locations, but you've walked into one of 11 locations. And so we have here in California, we have eight. About 3 years ago, we started our first out of state campus in Idaho. Last month, we launched our second out-of-state campus in Virginia. And then this month, we launched our third out-of-state campus in Ohio. So the good news is you walked into the best one. So congratulations. You're always a smarter group. And so thank you guys for being here. But if you ever end up out of Orange County, we got you covered. LA County, Inland Empire, different states. We'll eventually get to all of them. But thank you for being here today. My name is Moses Camacho. Like I said, we are in a series called Family Month. So Family Month is something that South Hills does every year. Every October, we dedicate the month of October to Family Month. And what this means is we every Sunday, we speak to adults and parents and couples and individuals about what it takes to build a healthy family. And then our students, who are in, you know, meeting right now as well, junior high or high school, they're learning what it takes to be a good listener in your home. And so, and then our children that are, you know, between, you know, infant and fifth grade, they're also learning what it takes to be a part of a healthy family. So the entire month of October, we are dedicated to making sure that we are doing everything possible to build a healthy family dynamic. And we also have resources. So if you are, this is your first time on your way out, there's a whole Family Month section over there. You can get cool bracelets, you get pins, all that fun stuff. But this is the one I would really encourage you to take. You can obviously take it all, but this is what I would really say before you leave, grab this. This is what our Family Month devotional. And so every day this month, there's a devotional in there for you and your family to have family time. And so in my home, we started it when we launched Family Month, and we dove into day one, just like many of you guys did. And so basically, you know, 10 minutes every morning before everyone starts the rat race of the day, go to work, go to school, sports, all that fun stuff. We take 10 minutes a day just to sit down as a family, dig into a scripture, the little devotional that comes with that scripture, and then there's a question at the end that everybody answers. Some of us do a better job than others. But at the end of the day, we're all together. We're all together, which is a good start. And so we want to, like I said, we want to do everything possible in a society and in a world where constantly there's pulling relationships apart and ultimately constantly a lot of challenges and obstacles that come in the way of building healthy families. We want to do everything on our end to make sure that we're doing everything to build healthy families. And so that's it for the Family Month intro. Let's make sure you grab that on the way out. Today, week number two, we are diving into every week a lie that ultimately destroys or breaks relationships, that makes relationships difficult in a family dynamic, whether that's a, you know, household with a husband and a wife and kids, or whether that's a single mom with kids or a single dad with kids, or whether it's a dynamic where it's like you have a group of friends that is your family, and this is the family that ultimately has been there for you day in and day out. Every dynamic of relationships goes through obstacles and lies that break that relationship dynamic. Last week, Pastor Chris, the campus pastor here for Costa Mesa, he dove into lie number one, which was every family must always be happy. And that's just an absolute lie, because we all know that's not true. You're never always going to be happy. There's moments of happiness, and there's moments of difficulty and sadness. But at the end of the day, if your goal is always to be happy, you're going to miss a lot of what family and relationships have to offer, which is depth. and maturity. And so today we're diving into lie number two, which is, if you don't agree with me, you don't accept me. And the lie behind this is, if we develop this mindset that if you don't believe everything I believe, and if you don't agree with everything that I agree with, and if your opinions don't match my opinions, then you really just don't accept me, and then we're just not really going to have a good friendship or a good relationship or a good, healthy family dynamic. And so we want to get into how to overcome this obstacle or this lie that often, you know, gets into our head and hearts and then creates this distance where, you know, ultimately there's things that we no longer feel safe with sharing because there's differences of opinion or there's different thoughts. And so we want to break this lie, and we want to make sure that we don't fall a trap to being in this lie that if you don't agree with me, you don't accept me. And so I'll just be honest, you know, there's, you know, I get a chance to meet a lot of people in my circle of my life. And there's been many times where I meet someone and I just think, like, there's no way you and I are ever going to be friends. Like, it's just not going to happen. Like, you're always in sandals. You're always wearing board shorts. The shirt looks raggedy every single day. You're wearing a blue Dodger hat. And it's just like, I just can't imagine you and I are ever going to be friends. And so, you know, I'm not just making that up. And I just gave away a lot of hints that made you feel like, hey, is this me? But the reality is like, it's an honest opinion. I'll never forget when my son Ezra, the youngest, was in kindergarten. When he was in kindergarten, a room mom, awesome room mom, got all the parents together and said, hey, I'm your room mom for kindergarten. We're going to get together at Marina Park down by the water. I'm going to have coffee and donuts. And you know, come on down. Let's do a meet and greet. Get to know the parents. Get to know the kids. And so, like, my wife and I were like, okay, this sounds really cool. Like, this room mom's putting in a lot of work to put them together a meet and greet. So we ride our bikes on Saturday morning, like, right around 10 a.m. And we get there, and sure enough, she's got coffee and donuts, and all their kids are running around, and there's parents there. And so we start going around introducing ourselves, and they introduce themselves to us. And then a little later, this guy with, you know, sandals and board shorts and a, you know, kind of like this blue jacket wrapped around his neck, and this blue Dodger hat rolls up, and he's like super confident in his walk, and he kind of does this walk, and he just sticks his hand out. He says, hey, I'm Ashley. And then I'm just like, hey, I'm Moses. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't think I heard your name right. What was your name? And he's like, Ashley Benchoff. And I'm just like, hey, man, I think I'm hearing you correctly, but I just want to be super sure because I don't want to get this wrong forever. Did you just say your name is Ashley? He's like, yep, Ashley. And I'm like, oh, all right. So then I shake his hand and I move on, and the day's over, and my wife and I are, you know, kind of recapping the morning, and she tells me about, like, all these people she met and these great, you know, great ladies and moms and yada yada. And I'm just like, did you meet that Ashley guy? And she's like, oh, I met his wife, super nice wife. And I'm like, his name is Ashley. And then she's like, uh-huh. And I'm like, I can't be friends with a guy named Ashley. That's just not going to happen. And so I was super judgmental. And for those of you who know me and know my friend Ashley, I changed his name because I was having such a hard time with it to Ash. And so then he is now one of my best friends. And he is one of my best friends. And so, but at the very beginning, there was major judgment at the very beginning where, like, there's no way I can be friends with this guy. Like, his name is Ashley. He's a Dodger fan. He's white. Why is a white guy a Dodger fan? That makes no sense. And then there's no way that he actually even goes to LA. Who does that in their right mind? But whatever, they're in the playoffs. Angels are not. Who cares? Yada, yada, right? But at the end of the day, there was this judgment on my end. There was this judgment on my end. Now, I will guarantee your judgment is not as strong as my judgment. I understand your, but I will guarantee there's many of us who have these things inside of our head and our hearts that say, I don't know if I could be friends with this person. They drive a certain car, or they live in a certain place, or they have a certain background, and whether we verbalize them or not, like I just did, whether we verbalize them or not, there's often this, you're not like me. You don't think like me. You don't dress like me. You don't act like me. You don't shop where I shop. We just don't have a lot of similarities. So therefore, I don't think we're going to get along very well. And if you were the person on the other side, you might have been in the situation where someone didn't want to be friends with me because they didn't believe, I don't believe what they believe, or I don't have the opinions that they have. And then often we're left with this emotion, this feeling like this. Some things have become such a big part of your identity that someone not liking something you like feels the same as someone not liking you. And so often this creates a big distance or a disconnect in relationships, whether it's a sibling relationship, a husband-spouse relationship, if it's a parenting relationship, a friendship relationship, it often creates this, if we don't agree on everything, or if you don't like the things I like, then therefore you don't like me. And so it comes into this vein of, you don't like me, you don't respect me, you don't value me, so therefore is there really going to be a space for you and I to even have an honest conversation? And then what happens from that point forward? You don't get honest conversations. You don't get a real conversation because now we've created a place where there's only a certain amount of things we can share. And if we decide to dive into difficult conversations, there's going to be distance and disconnect, and there's going to be a hard dynamic for us to even get to the place of being honest and being real. And so I know, because I have a lot of family members, and I'm Hispanic, and so it's just part of our nature to, I'm being honest, Wes. I mean, the Hispanic culture has a lot of family. I got 5 siblings, so there's 6 of us. All right. There's 2 boys, 4 girls. Most of us turned out really well. And then, it's not my parents' fault. I'm jealous of my parents that they were able to raise 6 kids. I have 3 myself. And I couldn't imagine what it would be to double that and then try to still live life. And so, but in a dynamic with a lot of family relationships, it's always kind of difficult to figure out what's safe to share, what's not safe to share, how much is honesty, how much is too much honesty. And so a brokenness can develop. A brokenness can develop. Now, broken families is not new. Like, families have been around since before you were born, before your grandparents were born. You can go back into history, and broken families have been a history. And I'll share with you today. In the book of Genesis chapter 37, there's a story of a guy named Joseph. And Joseph, he was what I would consider in a family dynamic where his family was broken. Now, the narrator of the story gives you all the insight to the story so you can see the brokenness. But the crazy part is if you follow Joseph, he doesn't realize how broken the family is because he's the favorite one. Now, I know what it's like to be the favorite one. And so, like, often when you're the favorite one, you don't really realize what the rest of the little people are dealing with. And so it's like you don't see the things they see. You don't feel the things they feel. You just think, like, it feels so great to be the favorite one. Everyone feels the way I feel. But as you see Joseph, that wasn't the case. So I'm going to share with you the story. I'm going to have to cut it short because it's a really long story. But if you want the full version of it, I encourage you, go home and read it. It starts in Genesis chapter 37. It goes on for several chapters. But it's a good story. But I'll give you the synopsis of it today. Chapter 37, verse 37 says, "But Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, in the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, his 17-year-old son, was taking care of the flocks with his brothers. Now he was the youngster, working with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. Joseph brought back a bad report about them to their father." So let me give you a little dynamic of what's happening here. Jacob is the dad. He's had a blended family. He's had several wives. So in the several wives situation, he's had multiple kids, over like 10 of them, 10 boys. Joseph is one of the youngest. And so he had like a special attachment to Joseph. The story we'll get into a little further on why the attachment was there. But Joseph, ultimately felt a really good connection to his dad, and he felt like he could share with his dad certain things that he saw in his brothers. Now, he didn't feel that safe to share those things with his brothers, so therefore he just would share them with his dad. So in the Bible it says he brought back a bad report to them. So Joseph saw something that his brothers shouldn't be doing, and rather than talking to his brothers about it, what did he do? He went to his dad and told them. So he tattled on them. Have you guys ever had kids who tattle? Have you ever had that kid that was just, or maybe a sibling that was a tattler? I'm not going to point out anybody, but that tattling sibling. It's just like, really, dude, like, did you have to go tell mom and dad about that? And it's like, okay, you know, so therefore there's some unhealthiness in this dynamic, right? There's unhealthiness in this dynamic. And here's the first thing I want you to notice. There was no conversation with Joseph to his brothers. He went straight to a conversation with his dad. Now, throughout the rest of this story, I want you to hold on to these words. There was no conversation. Everybody say no conversation. There was no conversation. No conversation is the tool that the enemy uses to destroy relationships. One more time. Everybody say no conversation. No conversation is the tool that the enemy uses to destroy relationships. Marriages, relationships between marriages, relationships between siblings, relationships between parents and kids and parents, whether it's a friendship relationship, whatever it is. No conversation is the tool that the enemy uses to destroy relationships. Now I'm going to go on with the story. The story in verse 3 says, now Israel loved Joseph more than his sons. Israel is actually Jacob. So God changed Israel's name to Jacob. So when it says Israel, it actually means Jacob. So now Israel loved Joseph more than his sons. So here you can see that Jacob, the father of all these kids, is the one that actually created the unhealthiness in the family. We know as parents, for those of us who have kids and you have multiple kids, it's usually easier to love one more than the other. And most of the time, parents don't share that with their kids. They lie to them and say, oh, I love you all the same. Oh, I can't love you more. I can't love one more than the other. That's impossible. I'm a mom. I'm a dad. I just love you all the same. But we're lying to them. Let's just be real. So I decided long ago, I'm not going to lie to my kids. There's going to be one of you that I love more than the other. And I'm going to give you the hint on how to be that one. The greatest listener gets the most love. So whoever listens the most gets the most love by nature. If you want to argue that point afterwards, change my mind. But at the end of the day, this is what was happening in this family dynamic. No conversation. No conversation. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than his sons because, of course, he had reason. Here comes the answer. Because he was a son born to him late in life, and he had made a special tunic just for him. So here, it even gets worse. Jacob not only is very obvious with which one his favorite is, he then takes his favorite and buys him special clothes. And now the Bible says a tunic, and later in the Bible it says that this tunic was high caliber, and it had all kinds of great colors, and it was a distinguishment between someone that was not going to do any labor versus regular clothes that someone was going to do labor. So it was kind of like in today's world, if you take one kid to go shop at Nordstrom and you take the other kids to go shop at Walmart. Not that there's anything wrong with Walmart, but it'd be that difference. It'd be like, hey, you and I are going to Nordstrom later. You're going to get a special pair of pants and a special shirt and a special shoes and some high caliber socks. And then you're going to get all this, and then I got to go to Walmart later to take the rest of your brothers to Walmart, right? So it was a huge distinction. He treated them differently. He dressed differently. But once again, when you're that person that's the favorite, you just think everybody loves you the same, right? You think everybody loves me as much as my dad loves me. My brothers and my siblings must just be so happy for me that I have this special tunic, and they don't. And like they you just don't think that way. So when Joseph's brothers saw their father loved him more than any of them, they hated Joseph. They hated him. Now, hearing the story, you're not surprised, right? It's like, why wouldn't they hate him? His father's paid more attention to him, got him special clothing. He didn't have to do any labor because he had the special tunic. They had to do all the labor. They didn't get any of the attention. So they hated him and were not able to speak to him kindly. And so in this moment, this is the first time in the Bible where the Bible explains that there is deep hatred towards the brothers and Joseph. Now, have you ever seen the movie The Grinch? There's that moment where he's standing up on the top of Mount Crumpet, and there's this like moment where he screams out how much he hates the Who's. And it looked like this. Here, I'll show you the clip.
Alphabetically, Odbarkian, Abacanesia Who, I hate you!
So that was Joseph's brothers. They hated him. They hated him, but once again, no conversation. Did the brothers ever have a conversation with Joseph? No. Did they ever feel like it was safe for them to share their thoughts or opinions on, you know, with Joseph or their dad? No. So what happens when they have all these feelings? This is what's happening to them. Feelings weren't thought of as informative. They weren't thought of something to experience. They weren't thought of something to identify. They weren't thought of something to examine. In those moments in their hearts and their lives, feelings were dangerous problems to be controlled, restrained, and eliminated. So there wasn't a safe place for them to have these conversations. They didn't feel safe to share with the other person or their siblings or their dad. Verse 6 says, he said to them, listen. Now, let me catch you up to speed here now. So once again, Joseph has no clue how much he's hated. He just thinks everybody loves him. Then God gives him a dream, and he thinks it's a good idea for this little brother to share this dream of how his brothers and his parents are going to worship him one day. Bad idea. Bad idea. Joseph doesn't realize this yet. So verse number 6, he said to them, listen to this dream I had. There we were, binding sheaves of grain in the middle of the field. So just in case you don't know what a sheaf is, it's kind of like, basically hay that you would wrap up and stand up. Do we have a picture of that? There it is. All right. So you hay that you would wrap up and you'd stand up. So this is what he's saying. He says, binding sheaves of grains in the middle of the field. Suddenly my sheaf rose up to stood upright and surrounded. The sheaf surrounded my sheaf and bowed down to it. So then his brothers are like, what in the world is this dream all about? It sounds like he's trying to say, like, we're going to bow down to this guy. So his brothers asked him, do you really think you will rule over us and have dominion over us? So then, of course, now this is spinning inside of their heads, and they hated him even more because of his dream. So the beauty about this, just so you know, before I go any further, is you thought your family was dysfunctional. No, you didn't invent dysfunction. Dysfunction has been around for thousands of years. Dysfunctional families that did not have healthy conversations, these were around thousands of years. So we didn't invent dysfunctional families. We get to learn from them, but we also get to do something about them today. We don't have to repeat them. So then verse number 9 says, then he had another dream and told his brothers, look, he said, I had another dream, and then the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. When he told his father and his fathers rebuked him, saying, what is this dream that you had? Will your mother and your brothers really come and bow down to you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept that in mind with Joseph. So now there's just no conversation going on about, like, hey, let's sit down and talk about what you're talking about. Is this you thinking? Is this God talking to you? Is this a picture that we should sit down and have a conversation about? There was no conversation. No conversation whatsoever. All that's happening is Joseph sharing unhealthy stories, family receiving unhealthy stories, rebuking, yelling, screaming, and then going their separate ways and creating a distance and not having any conversation. Everybody say no conversation? Now we know that the brothers hate Joseph because the narrator is telling us. But in this part, you'll realize that Joseph still is clueless and doesn't realize how much his brothers hate him. And so now his dad tells him, like, hey, your brothers are working, go help them. And so in verse 12 it says, when your brothers had gone to gaze the father's flock near Shechem, Israel said to Joseph, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I will send you to them. And then he says, I'm ready. Joseph replied. So Jacob said to him, go now and check on the welfare of your brothers and the flocks and bring me word. So Jacob sent him from the valley to Hebron. Joseph is still clueless that his brothers don't feel about him like his dad feels about him. His dad tells him, like, hey, go to this far land where your brothers are watching the sheep and check on them to see, make sure they're doing okay. And he says, sure, no problem. They love me. Why wouldn't I go check them out? And so check on them. So then he goes, and then here's what happens. Here's what happens when his brothers see him coming from a distance. His brothers see him coming from a distance and says, now Joseph's brothers saw him from a distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. They said to one another, here comes the master of dreams. And then says, come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of the cisterns. Cisterns were this big old huge hole just like that. It wasn't a well. It was just a big huge hole that was created to retain water. So when it would rain, these cisterns would hold water for whatever purposes you needed them for. And so they said, let's throw him into a cistern. And that will, and here in the wilderness, but uh, but don't lay a, cisterns. And they say that and will say that a wild animal ate him. Then we'll see how his dreams turn out. So obviously the brothers are talking about how much they hate Joseph, but they're not talking to Joseph about it. And they're not talking to their dad about it. And have you ever realized that it's probably easier for you to like have conversations with people that already think the way you think and feel the way you feel? And especially if you think or feel a certain way about someone else, how easy it is to have that conversation with someone. For some reason, that's always easier than, hey, maybe we should have a conversation with that guy and sit down and see if we can work this out so that we could all have a good relationship versus us just sitting here with all this hatred and him prancing around thinking everybody loves him. At least at that point, he'll know nobody loves him really as much as his dad does. And so then here we go. We move on to the story, right? We move on into this place where now someone actually speaks up. Verse 21 says, when Reuben heard this, he rescued Joseph from their hands, saying, let's not take his life. Reuben continued, don't shed his blood. He says, throw him down into the cistern into this wilderness, but don't lay a hand on him, Reuben said. And then it says this. Reuben said this so that he could rescue Joseph from them and take him back to his father. So this is a moment now where it's like one sibling actually did not want to hurt Joseph. Now, he didn't want to say it out loud because he didn't want the other ones to feel that way. Have you ever seen that Friends episode where you know, Chandler's cracking jokes and nobody's laughing? All right, let's watch that episode real quick.
I'm sure we're all very excited that Ross and Emily are getting married at Montgomery Hall. I mean, to think, my friend getting married in Monty Hall. Oh, come on, Monty Hall, let's make a deal. Come on, you people. All right, forget it. Congratulations, Ross and Emily.
I was laughing.
Out loud.
Well, I didn't want everyone to think I was stupid.
So I can imagine this was what Reuben was feeling. Is like, you know, I don't hate Joseph as much as everyone hates Joseph, but I don't want to say anything. So I'm just going to rescue Joseph while they're not looking. Now, the story goes on. If you don't know the rest of the story, I encourage you to read it. But basically, I'll give you, once again, a quick synopsis of it. So they agree not to kill him. Then Reuben goes about his work. And then they throw him into the cistern. And then sure enough, these slave owners are traveling through. Then the rest of the brothers decide, like, you know what? Let's just sell him to these slave owners and at least make some money off of this. This way we don't kill him and it makes Reuben happy, but then again, we get some money out of this and get something out of it. So sure enough, they do that. Reuben comes back later to try to rescue him from the cistern. He's not there. And then all of a sudden, the rest of the story continues. So I encourage you to read it, but up until this point, here's what you can notice. No conversations. A family dynamic, differences of opinions, different thoughts, different feelings. Were there reasons to it? Absolutely. Everybody has their reasons, right? Whoever has an opinion without reasons. Whoever makes a decision without reasons. Whether we agree with the decisions or whether we think they're right or wrong, but everybody has reasons why they do what they do. So let me ask you this question. In this story, over and over and over, you see no conversations. Maybe they didn't feel safe enough to have a conversation. Maybe they weren't going to feel heard. Maybe they didn't think anybody was going to listen. So let me ask you, in your family dynamic, because this is really what this is all about, right? If not, it's just a funny story, and then you walk out the doors. Before you walk out the doors today, ask yourself, do you feel safe and secure enough with your family to have a real conversation about opinions, thoughts, feelings? Do you feel safe to have those conversations with your family? And then, if you're probably like Joseph would be like, absolutely, of course. Everybody loves me. Next question. Some of us are under the impression that our family is a safe place to share because it's safe for us. But we are the ones who have made it unsafe for everyone else. Now, I don't really know anything about this. And my family's laughing. But that's a reality. It's like, you can imagine that I feel very safe having conversations with my family. Why wouldn't I? I'm kind of bold. I'm kind of confident. I'm kind of secure. I'm kind of arrogant. I'm kind of sarcastic. And then if you say something I don't agree with, I say there's something wrong with you, and then I walk away. And then I just continue on and on and with life, right? And so the reality is we may feel confident to share with others, but that doesn't necessarily mean that others feel confidence to share with us. So here's what I want you to know. A healthy relationship doesn't mean we agree on everything, but that we feel safe and secure enough to share anything. A healthy relationship doesn't mean we agree on everything, but that we feel safe and secure to share enough, to share anything. Now, once again, as I said earlier, Jacob created this environment in his home. But you know also what you're going to find if you read that story? Jacob's parents created that environment in his home. His mom, Rebecca, favored Jacob over his brother Esau. And they had a very unhealthy decision-making process that got Esau to really hate Jacob. And so then, did they talk about it? No. So then Jacob moves on and creates his own family, and then he creates a very unhealthy environment. And then they don't have any conversations. So at some point, the cycle continues until you have conversations to break that cycle. And here's the last thing I want to say. Often the things a parent doesn't address in themselves will be passed to their kids. Often things that parents don't address in themselves will be passed on to their kids. Now, there's one thing before I close this message that I want you to walk away with. And it's an action item that I want you to actually do with your family. And it's ask your family this, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your siblings, whether it's your kids, whether it's the people in your life that you consider family, relationships that matter to you. Relationships that matter to you. Ask yourself, ask them this question. What about me makes you feel like you can't be open and honest with me? What about me makes you feel like you can't be open and honest with me? Now, here at South Hills, we always say we're never going to ask you to do something that we're not willing to do ourselves. So I actually asked this question to my siblings. And I really thought I was going to be Joseph, like, oh, man, everything's great about you. Man, look, here's all the great things you've ever done for me. And I really was just like, I'm just going to ask this question because I'm going to tell the church to do it. And, you know, so I'm going to make sure I do it myself. And so here's what came back. Page number 4. I don't feel heard when I try to talk to you. I don't feel safe to share how I am feeling because you automatically want to justify your actions on how I am wrong in feeling the way I do. Here's another answer. And they just kept coming. I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. I said, what's the one thing, not the 19 things? I'll continue. Anytime I think about being honest with you about a conflict, I think it's not worth the effort because you won't listen and will make me feel like it's my fault for feeling the way I do. You have a short attention span is another one. Oh, man. It's like, now I know how Joseph felt. Here's another one. I can't tell you how I feel the way I communicate best. It has to be your communication style, to the point and funny. Now, when I got these answers, do you think I had a lot of reasons for these things? Do you think I could have responded and be like, yeah, get to the point. What's your point here? You know, there's a lot of things I could have said. There's a lot of things I could have justified myself with. And of course, anytime you put yourself out there and you're feeling attacked or you're feeling like here's all the things that are wrong about you, your first reaction is you want to defend yourself and justify, right? But at the end of the day, if this relationship really matters to me, I got to take a deep breath and I got to look at things through their lens. Now, I have a lot of siblings, as I mentioned to you. Some of these siblings were like, no, I love our relationship. It's great. It's easy to talk to you. I actually share too much with you. Now, by nature, if I would have never asked this question to all my siblings, what would I have done naturally? I would have gravitated to those who think like me and act like me and feel like me. And then what would I have done to those who don't think like me and act like me? I would have just isolated them. Like, you don't understand me. I'm just going to focus on those that do. Once again, no conversations destroy relationships. So I encourage you today, as you step out of the service today, I encourage you to ask yourself, ask your family that question. What about me? What about me makes you feel like you can't be open and honest with me? And I really want to make sure that we take a moment to value the relationships in our life and ask those questions, because if the relationships matter to you, you want them to be around. And if you want them around, they're not going to be healthy by themselves. Anything that you want healthy, whether it's relationships, finances, whether it's physical, you know, health, anything you want healthy requires intentionality. And so my hope and prayer is that you would walk out of today and make sure that you ask a family member that question. Let's bow your head and pray as we get ready to move on to the next part of our service. Father.
Well, regardless of where you may be at in your faith journey, I believe that everyone has a next step that they can take. If you'd like more information about what it means to put your trust in Jesus, information about getting baptized, or maybe even attending a Discover class to grow more in your faith, you can visit us online at southhills.org/Costa Mesa, and then scroll down to the Next Steps section. If you'd like more information about tithing or supporting South Hills financially, you can visit southhills.org/giving. Thanks again for listening today, and I hope that I get to see you soon.